Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Trey Carey, the lead pastor of Modern Worship. We hope this week's message connects with you and helps you connect with God. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBoro. We also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and in the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. So one of the great joys that I have in life right now, one of the many blessings that I have is I get to drive my daughter, Lily Brooks, who's 7 years old. She's in second grade, and I get to drive her to school most days. And just those few minutes mean so much to me in my day and my week, and so I love that. This week, I wanted to share with you something that happened on Tuesday. I was driving Lily Brooks to school, and an ambulance went by. And the lights were flashing, so we pulled over to the side of the road, you know. And what we usually do is we take that opportunity when we're pulled over on the side of the road just to say a little prayer. We say a prayer for whoever the person is that's hurt or sick, and we say a prayer for the people that are going to help them. And so we were pulled over on the side of the road, and I said a little prayer kind of along those lines, and my daughter said, "In Jesus' name, amen." And then she said, I could tell she was thinking about something. She said, "Dad, Why do we say in Jesus' name when we pray, right?" And I was kind of tempted to go into preacher mode and give her this big, long, theological answer of what that means. But I decided just to kind of keep it simple. And I said, well, that's because Jesus said to it. He says in the Bible, anything you ask for in my name, I'll do. Right? And she said, oh, okay, yeah, right, good. I could tell that wasn't okay, though. I could tell she wanted more, right? And so the next thing she said was, well, not anything, right, Dad? I mean, like, it has to be something that God wants too, right? I mean, and it has to be good for somebody else, right? You can't just say, God, give me some gold in Jesus' name, right? And she kind of had like a little pirate voice when she said it too. But then I could tell, like, I had more to say, right? And I said, well, you're right. And not just anything, like, it has to be, you know, something that God wants, and it has to be something that's good for others. You're right, that's good. And so I pulled back on the road, and I started going back towards school, and I could hear her, this was the best part, I heard her in the back seat saying a little prayer, and she said, Jesus, you know, I didn't really mean what I said earlier, I was just trying to prove a point to my dad. She didn't want him to think that she was asking for gold in Jesus' name, I guess, but preacher's kids. We have conversations like that all the time in the car. But my point in that is she made a pretty good point, and she did a pretty good job proving it in the questions that she asked. And it got me kind of asking some questions this week and thinking about that. You know, what are there things that we do and say in Jesus' name that are self-serving instead of Christ serving? Have you ever thought about that before? We say and do things in Jesus' name, but what does that really mean? And are we really doing it in a way that is what God wants and is good for others, right? I was thinking about that. In my life, am I really seeking to bring my life into alignment with what God wants, or many times, if I'm honest, I want to bring God into alignment with what I want in my own life. Have you guys ever thought about that before? Do you kind of wrestle with that? You know, I thought about it more even at the things that we do at church, right? The things that we do in Jesus' name, like coming to church or going to Bible study or serving on a mission trip or serving at a soup kitchen or serving on a committee. Is it possible for us to do those things in Jesus' name and for them to be self-serving instead of Christ-serving? Now, not that the two are mutually exclusive or that there's anything wrong with that, but I think that, you know, it's important from time to time for us to kind of go back to the question of the why or maybe even the who behind the what of our everyday lives. You see what I'm saying? It's worth going back to. That's kind of the main idea behind this series that we've been doing. For the last few weeks, we've been doing a series called Back to the Basics. And it's basically been a conversation about those things that are the basics of what it means to be a follower of Christ and what it means to be the church. We've been talking about what that looks like for us. Those things that we need to keep going back to, not just once, but over and over again. Each week we've talked about how we as a church have this mission statement that kind of encapsulates that for us. And the mission statement is kind of those basic things that we go back to, right? I'm going to put it up on the screen here. Growing disciples of Jesus Christ, will you say it with me? Who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. Y'all help me out now. Come on. Let's do it one more time. Growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. Thank you. So those are kind of the basic ideas. You know, there's nothing really fancy about that. It's just these are the basic ideas of why we, what it means to be a growing disciple of Jesus Christ and what it means for us to be a church. We want to be people, individuals in a community who are growing in knowing, loving, and serving Christ. And so we've been asking these questions the last few weeks. We started with the first one. What does it mean to know Christ? And what difference does that make? We talked about the difference between knowing Christ and just knowing things about Christ. Then the next week we talked about love Him. We talked about what it means to love Christ and what difference that makes. The difference between loving Christ and just loving the idea of Christ. So this week we're to the third one. Know Him, love Him, serve Him. And I want to talk for just a few minutes about what it means to serve Christ and the difference that makes. I want to talk about the difference between serving Christ and serving ourselves, even if it's in the name of Christ. The truth is, I think we can do and say a lot of things in Jesus' name that are really a lot more about us than they are about Jesus. If I'm honest, I can see that in my own life. It doesn't mean that those things are bad that we do, right? It just means that I think sometimes we need to take a step back and ask the question, as individuals and as a community, is what I'm doing somehow connected to what God's doing? And is it for the greater good of others? I think Lily Brooks was onto something with her questions. Is it something God wants? Is it for the good of others? And so when we come to serving Christ, I think we go where we've gone with all of our examples. We look at the life and the ministry of Christ. What it means to serve Christ is to serve like Christ serves. See, that's the important thing about this, is that God is the originator. God is the initiator. God is the beginning of all these things. We can know Christ because Christ knows us. We can love Christ because Christ first loved us. And we serve Christ because Christ has given us this example of what service looks like. Jesus described Himself as the one who came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. I've heard someone say once, we are never more like Jesus than when we are serving. And there's a great quote that I want to share with you. One of my favorite authors, Dallas Willard. This is something I think really captures this idea of doing things in Jesus' name. He says this in his book, I am learning from Jesus to live my life as He would live my life if He were I. I'm not necessarily learning to do everything He did, but I'm learning how to do everything I do in a manner that He did all that He did. Does that make sense? That's even beyond the what would Jesus do. It's really, if Jesus were in this situation, if Jesus were in my life, how would Jesus handle this? I'm not necessarily going to do everything that Jesus did, but I'm going to do everything that I do in the way that Jesus did what he did. Does that make sense? Do you see the difference between the two? This has some really really big implications for our lives. If you were here the very first week, I talked about that there were kind of three basic questions that I think we all ask, whether we realize it or not, at every age, stage, season, circumstance of life. Just as human beings, we want to answer these three questions. Who am I? Where do I belong? And what difference do I make? Right? I call this our need for people, place, and purpose. We all want people that, we all need people to connect with. We all need a place to grow and to belong, and we all need a purpose to serve, right? Can you think about that, where you've kind of sought that in different ways in different times in life? This morning, I want to talk about that third one, a purpose to serve, because I think that's where the difference between serving Christ and serving self comes into play. I think we all realize that we want to know that we have a part to play, right? We all want to know that our contribution matters in whatever area of life we're involved in. And the point I want to make this morning that has to do with that is simply this. The point is not just that we have a purpose to serve. The point is that our purpose is to serve. Do you see the difference? Let me say it one more time. The point is not just that we serve a purpose. The point is that our purpose is to serve. That's why we have been created and called by God, is to serve in whatever way God has called us to do that. There's a great book by a pastor named Rick Warren. It's called The Purpose-Driven Life. Have you heard of it before? It's sold like millions and millions of copies. I may have talked about it before, but I love that book. But the whole purpose of the book is summed up in the very first chapter, the very first page, the very first sentence of the book. Rick Warren says this: it's not about you. That's the key to a purpose-driven life, is to realize that my purpose is beyond just me. And when we find that purpose beyond ourselves, ironically, that's when we find purpose for our lives. I think that's a little bit of what's going on in our scripture lesson this morning. There's a scripture that we've been going back to over and over again throughout this series, Matthew chapter 7. This is Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, and I want you to hear these words from Jesus one more time. Jesus said this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles.' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." See, I think what Jesus is trying to help us understand here is that it's about more than just saying the right things. It's about more than just even doing the right things. It sounds like the folks in this story are serving, right? But what we realize there is that Jesus says back to them, "Only those who do the will of my Father will enter the kingdom of heaven." So what does that mean? What does it look like to do the... How many of you have ever struggled with that question? What is God's will for my life? What is God's will in this situation? Am I fulfilling my purpose? See, these are all things that I think we struggle with from time to time. And Jesus is saying that doing the will of my Father is how you enter into this new reality called the kingdom of heaven. So if that's it, then what does it look like? I think there's glimpses all through Scripture of what this looks like, but I wanted to share just a couple with you this morning that I think are most significant. The first one's in Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy..." See, it always starts with God. "In view of God's mercy, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." And then it says, "Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." I like the Message version because it puts it in more of a language that I can understand. This is the same passage in the Message. It says, "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. See, that's what Jesus said in that parable too. He says, those who hear these words of mine and put them into practice, those are the ones whose lives are built on the firm foundation. So it requires us to listen to Jesus, to learn the things that are important to God, and then to respond to those with our lives, right? That's how we can know that what we're doing in Jesus' name is Christ-serving, is if we do it as an offering to God. I don't know if you've noticed this before, but whenever we have communion in our worship services, we do this in a very special way. Every communion, we take communion, and then we invite folks to come to the altar to pray, and that's where we take our benevolence offering. That's an offering that helps us meet the needs of people in our community. And I was talking to Josh Markham this week, who's our missions director, and he was sharing with me that the way that we do that was very intentional, that we take that offering in that way for a very specific reason. So that the people that he talks to throughout the week, which, by the way, he shared this with me, I didn't know, Josh gets about 10 to 15 phone calls a day. From people in our community that are in need of help, whether it be rent or food or gas money or whatever it may be. And Josh is able to share with them where this money is coming from that he's using to help them. He says a lot of times people try to pay us back. And he says, no, this is a gift. This money was placed on the altar after receiving Holy Communion, this free gift of God's grace. People have shared this as a free gift. So this is a free gift to you that you don't need to repay, that you don't need to return. I thought that was such a beautiful picture of connecting service to offering to God. That's kind of the key of this idea is when we're serving, that it's connected to, that we're not just doing it for that person and we're not just doing it for ourselves. We're doing it as an offering to God. That's what it means for us to serve. So that kind of brings me to another point I want to make about having a purpose to serve. It's this, my purpose, whatever is my purpose, it's never just my purpose. It's always our purpose. It's not just what God is doing in my life. It's what God is doing in our lives and in our world. You see, God doesn't necessarily have a purpose for our lives that God wants to be a part of. God has a purpose that God wants our lives to be a part of. Does that make sense? Do you see the difference between the two? Got tongue-tied. While we may have a part to play in that based on our unique passions or our unique gifts or our unique experiences, right? As Maggie was sharing in the children's message, folks that are painters and builders and teachers and doctors, we all have a unique part to play, but that purpose to serve, it always involves other people and the bigger thing that God is doing in the world. Let me give you another example. I've shared with you before that when I was in college, I worked as an intern in the youth ministry at my home church, St. Mark's United Methodist Church across town. And we had a program like most youth ministries do. We had a program on Sunday night every week. And so my role at that program almost every Sunday night, my active service was to lead the games. I was kind of the game guy. And so I got to lead games every week. And it was something that I loved and everybody else loved too. And I'd kind of developed this reputation for being the game guy, right? And I was proud of that. And so we played some really awesome games. And the very last Sunday that I was there, I graduated from MTSU. I was getting ready to go to seminary in Kentucky. This was my last Sunday night. And so I thought, this was really my night to shine. I'm going to come up with the most legendary game that will go down in youth group game history. Okay, so I got there like an hour early, and I set up the gym with this obstacle course. It had baseball bats and hula hoops and big orange cones and chairs. I mean, it was a work of art. And I probably got there like an hour early to get it set up. And so at 5 o'clock, when it was time for the youth to get there, we'd have dinner upstairs in the fellowship hall, and then we'd go downstairs to the gym and play games. So I was headed up the stairs to dinner, and my youth minister, Reverend Kirk Dana, met me on the stairs. And he was a real just matter-of-fact guy. And he said, Trey, change of plans. We're going to do something a little different tonight. We're going to scratch the games. We're going to do something else in the fellowship hall. So just go downstairs, and if you could just put everything up and come on upstairs, that'd be great. And then he went back upstairs, and I was just kind of standing there like, oh, no. All my hard work that I'd done, right? My work of service that I'd done for the Lord, and now I'm not going to get to do it, right? So then I just started to have kind of a little pity party. I went back into the gym, and I started picking up baseball bats and just throwing them in the closet, and I was kicking chairs and cones back into place, and I was just kind of fretting and fuming, and I was so upset because I wasn't going to get to do my act of service for the Lord, right? That was a great attitude to have. So after I got all that done, I kind of moped and walked with my head down up the stairs into the fellowship hall. I didn't notice what was going on until I heard everybody in that room shout, "Surprise! It was my going away party that they had planned for me, and they were keeping me downstairs just to keep me kind of out of the way," right? You can imagine how I felt in that moment, you know, about this big. Now, they didn't know what all had been going on, but I did, right? What they knew was that my youth minister had this purpose, right? And my service was a part of that purpose, but there were a lot of other people doing a lot of other things in service of this purpose. And when it all came together, I realized the motivation for my service, right? It was really, I was so focused on myself, I almost missed the joy of that moment and that greater purpose. Now, that's not a perfect analogy, but I think you kind of get the idea of where I'm going with that. We all have a purpose to serve, and it's a purpose to serve. And when we're all serving together, then that's a part of what God is doing in the church and in the world. There's a great passage of scripture in Ephesians where Paul says something like this. He says, Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, we become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of God. See, we can know that we're serving in Jesus' name when we know that we're a part of something bigger than ourselves, but that our part is an important part to play in what God is doing in the world. And if we're doing that, then we can be confident of what we're doing in Jesus' name, whatever that is. This brings me to the last part. This is the last thing I want to share with you about a purpose to serve. In Colossians 3, Paul says this. He says, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all, what? In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through it. Whatever you do, whatever you say, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father. See, when I read this and I understand serving Christ in that way, it frees me. It frees me from worrying all the time if I'm doing my purpose, if I've discovered my purpose in life. It frees me from struggling and straining and worrying that I'm missing God's will in my life. Paul's saying, whatever you do, whatever you say, when you do it in Jesus' name for the good of others, in line with what God wants for the world, for God's glory, then you are indeed serving Christ, because that's what Christ did. He came to this earth and he served and he gave his life. He said, not my will, but yours be done. Here's the bottom line of all this, and then I'll be quiet. When we realize that our purpose is to serve, there will always be a purpose to serve. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whether it be at church or at school or at home or at work, or wherever you are, there will be a purpose to serve, because we believe that God is with us and God is for us and God desires to work in and through us to bring the kingdom of heaven into the kingdoms of this world. That's why we pray together, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God calls us to play a part in that. We have a purpose to serve in what God is doing in the world. And God accomplishes that when we do that, not just by ourselves, but together. That's what it means to be the church. That's why it's important for us to keep going back to this idea over and over again, growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know him not just about him, who love him, not just the idea of him, who serve him, not just ourselves. When we know him, love him, and serve him in that way, that makes all the difference, not just in our lives, but in the church, in the community, around the world. So that's what we need to keep going back to. Not just once, but over and over again.